I've been asked to provide a slightly different perspective to the ways they say I might position itself to achieve security and prosperity by discussing the connections between the Department of Defence and the international development sector, which is managed by the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. Australia's development assistance within the broader Australian government context is to identify ways in which to strengthen Australian influence and impact the Asia-Pacific region. DFAT's 2017 Foreign Policy White Paper was a clear statement of its focused policy and programming linked to economic growth, but also as a security enabler. The White Paper noted that in a more contested and competitive world, international policy will need to maximise our national power and our international influence. This requires active, determined and innovative foreign policy built on solid domestic foundations with flexible economy, strong defence and national security capabilities, and resilient democratic institutions. Economic growth in the Asian Pacific continues to reshape our strategic landscape. In particular, the efforts of China's growth is accelerating shifts in relative economic and security priorities. China is their most important trading partner for most of the region's economies, including Australia, and it's now a major investor in infrastructure also around the region. Australia has recognised that it needs to find ways to work with China, as well as support independent decision-making by the Asia and Pacific sovereign nations. And it seeks to do this by sharing our experience with economic return, sustainable development practices and regulation, and by providing assistance to other governments with their own opportunities and challenges. CARDNO has worked in the international development assistance environment for over 50 years, providing consulting services across the entire spectrum of infrastructure. And we deliver to aid agencies, multilateral organisations, international finance and other companies. In the Asia-Pacific region, DFAT is our big client in the IG space, but we also work with World Bank, with ADB, with the Green Climate Foundation, the EU and DFAT. And we currently manage around 30 programmes across the Pacific for DFAT, with total capex of around about 1.3 billion. Our historical experience and ongoing strong relationships with these agencies enable our clients to work proactively within the donor sector, as well as provide additional assistance to other government agencies, including the Department of Defence, because of the way that we've worked in these places for a long time. And we have a good understanding of the complexities of the operating environment. We know the risks, and we also can understand the types of people and personnel that are required to coordinate these activities. This creates opportunities for deeper engagement and a sector-wide planning and policy approach that enables identification and resolution of broader national-level strategy, financing and planning reforms, as well as partnerships necessary for sustained long-term outcomes. So I'm an architect by training, or at least I've got lots of great pictures for you. So where are the connection points, and how do we use our Australian government agencies to utilise and strengthen what we're trying to achieve from a security perspective? Australia has a reputation as a respectful sovereign nation and a reliable trading partner. Again, the White Paper references that Australia's interests are clear in the distribution of power in the Indo-Pacific regions. We want peace in order to help sustain growth that has brought the region to the centre of global economy. Equally, we want a region where our ability to prosecute our interests freely is not constrained by the exercise of coercive powers. The Australian government pursues these interests through the use of its agencies, which are often intertwined with shifting terrain, but have very different and defined priorities and goals. And this includes the Australian Defence Force and the Department of Foreign Affairs and Trade. A very good example of this is of the Australian government's ability to effectively utilise these agencies and support our neighbours in times of crisis, as well as in a long-term sustainable outcome plan, which are really successfully demonstrated in the Solomon Islands through the Ramsey and also the Arctic programs, both of which I was fortunate to be involved in at various times. And actually working on the Ramsey project is what led me into the international development sector. In 2003, due to the prevailing atmosphere of lawlessness, widespread corruption and extortion, and ineffective policy, the Solomon Islands government submitted a formal request for international help. This led to the creation of the Regional Assistance Mission to Solomon Islands, Ramsey, led by the Australian and New Zealand governments. Over the next 15 years, Ramsay provided ongoing presence supporting law and order activities, including policing, community outreach programs, and infrastructure rehabilitation. At the same time, the Australian government launched a series of aid assistance programs, and in 2016, they commissioned the ASIC project, which extended into 2014. So they ran side by side. These programs, as well as other educational and health facilities, aim to complement the Ramsay activity and strengthen the capacity of the Solomon Islands government. Leading on from the commitments made by Ramsay, ASIC infrastructure projects focused on law and justice sector, as well as providing correctional facilities, magistrates, courthouses, support facilities such as police housing, but also focused on the capacity elements around community centres and engagement. Whilst these are expectations were aligned with Ramsay's priorities, they were also based on long-term capacity development and institutional strengthening. These objectives were weaved and linked with the community aspirations, the government requirements of good governance and political stability. This involved a high level of engagement with community stakeholders to ensure ownership of outcomes and also set standards for human rights moving forward. Following the conclusion of Ramsay in 2017, Australia has continued to provide significant and substantial investment to Solomon Islands. This has included supporting facilities for justice and governance on an ongoing basis through DFAT Solomon Islands Resource Facility. Police development programs are now delivered by the Australian Public Police. The recent announcements by Prime Minister Scott Morrison as part of his Pacific Step Up agenda will also further increase our engagement and support with Solomon Islands, which directly facilitates economic growth, enables wealth creation, and assists us with our security expectations. Relationships. Maintaining well-established relationships is a key strategy, and specifically supporting stable and prosperous countries and regions provides the Australian government with great opportunity. Papua New Guinea has been identified as one of our most important foreign policy objectives. The Australian government has had a close relationship with PNG since World War II. And the Australian Defence Force had a presence at Longbourn Naval Base in Manus Island for 25 years until PNG gained independence in 1975. It is in our shared interest that Australia remains Papua New Guinea's principal security partner, and we continue to provide assistance to ensure collaboration between our two nations on this basis. Since independence, the Australian government has developed a highly valued relationship with our closest neighbour. Not many people realise that PNG is actually closer to us than New Zealand. And that this has been done through a social as well as physical infrastructure development assistance programs. PNG continues to have some very serious challenges. The Australian government, through DFAT, encourages economic growth, improved governance, and supports health and education initiatives through a variety of unusual and sometimes discrete programs. There's a sample here. These are the ones that my group are involved in. The Justice Services and Stability for Development Program, known as JSS4D, commenced in 2016 and builds on more than 25 years of continuous Australian government support to law and justice. The program activities focus on enhancing community safety and security, addressing family and sexual violence, supporting effective law and justice services, and supporting anti-corruption initiatives. It's also delivered programs that are specific to the infrastructure, such as the Manus Provincial Police Headquarters, Police Officer Accommodation, Booker and Bougainville, and Sexual Family and Sexual Violence Units in Port Moresby, which serve as critical entry points for women facing violence at home. The Women's Leadership Initiative is another important DFAT social program which promotes future generation of women leaders in PNG and across the Pacific region. It does this by identifying emerging women leaders from the region and creating opportunities for them to seek out new ideas, providing coaching and other leadership opportunities to influential women in Australia who mentor them to develop the skills. At the bottom of the picture, the last two photos show work done under the Technical Enabling Unit. This was commissioned in 2014 as a very specific initiative to support effective implementation in capital infrastructure through related bilateral cooperation measures. Services included providing financial advice on investments, contracting arrangements, development of affordable design standards and managing construction delivery, quality and risk monitoring and evaluation of effectiveness of implementation. Over the last 5 years, the program has delivered $140 million between infrastructure and health education programs. It is acknowledged that climate change, environment degradation, and more frequently natural disasters, and the demand for sustainable sources of food, water, and energy will be political, economic, and security disruptors over the longer term. The economic and security effects of climate change are going to sharpen and increase global stresses that could add to social, economic, and political tensions. Many countries in Australia's immediate region, especially the Solomon Islands states, are looking at donor agencies and support from the Australian government in order to plan for these impacts on their communities. International development from donors such as DFAT provides a mechanism which defence doesn't have that listens, engages and supports the generational change. This ensures a long-term quality of life for these countries' people. So the design of a construction of a bridge, road or building presents a myriad of social and environmental challenges that's really as simple as a technical outcome. An example of this is the Vanuatu local economic impact outcomes of the cyclone plan, which is a considerable disruption to the country. Nauru is one of the smallest independent democratic states, and AUB is leading a multilateral partnership, including funding from DFAT, to minimise long-term climate change impacts and improve port safety, access and operations. And this project is actually being delivered by a Chinese contractor on behalf of all of the multi-donor agencies. And Tuvalu is another fragile microstate that consists of nine low-lying atolls. The country has a total of only 26 square kilometres and very few exports, so it relies very heavily on donor funding. The Outer Island Marine Infrastructure Project will develop marine infrastructure to improve safety, efficiency and sustainability of marine transportation. Finally, what are the outcomes of the connection between defence and trade and foreign affairs? As competition for influence in the region grows, the Australian government has been clear it will increase Australia's efforts to ensure we are leading security, economic and development partnerships in Southeast Asia and the Pacific. And it will be based on our existing relationship as trusted and valued members of the region. As the Australian government continues to build on a more capable and agile potential of a potent Australian Defence Force, it will also be able to pursue active diplomacy by promoting economic reform and social stability through the Department of Foreign Affairs agenda. The ADF can draw on the well-developed ADF for DFAT relationships to assist with broadening and deepening our regional alliances. And there is no doubt that multilateral engagement magnifies this influence. Whilst every donor and agency may have different agendas, by working together, we actually achieve the same goals. And this will ultimately support Australia's commercial interests as well. Our overseas networks already and will continue to advance our commercial exposure to foreign markets by drawing on business expertise and priorities of Australian companies and consultants, which can be reinforced by high-level advocacy. As a prosperous country, Australia has a responsibility to proactively contribute to global efforts to reduce poverty, alleviate suffering and promote sustainable development. And this serves in our interests because the more that countries can provide economic opportunities for their citizens, the more stable they become, and this lessens our need to protect ourselves. Whilst defence operations and personnel exchanges are great ways to establish immediate government and institutional relationships, it is often the international development programs that facilitate the development of networks to build longer and long-standing partnerships, often at the highest levels. By providing support to our Asian Pacific partners through a complementary set of defence-led and DFAT-led activities, we help to promote Australia's interests, which in a more integrated and culturally sensitive way. This places us in a strong leadership role whereby we can take responsibility for our own security and prosperity while still recognising that we are stronger when we share the burden of leadership with our trusted partners and regional friends.